name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today, we begin one of the most, I should say today is one of the most important days of the church year because we begin our preparation for the season of Lent, which of course is the preparation for the Feast of Feasts, Holy Pascha. If you were here last night, you saw there was a special rite, a special service that we did where the chanter Tony Jacobs came up and he took up a new book. It's called the Triodion. It's the book that we use during this period from the preparation of Lent up until Pascha that we use. And this beginning of this season was marked in a special way where he came down and made a prostration and picked up the book that I had set before the icon of Christ to symbolize how unique and how special this season is. And we begin this season of our preparation for Pascha. We begin by hearing this parable of Jesus, the parable of the publican, or the tax collector, it's the same thing, and the Pharisee. This morning I want to talk about first the significance of this parable within its historical setting, and then the second thing I want to do is talk about what the church is teaching us by placing it here at the beginning of our preparation. So the first thing that I want to highlight is many of us think about Pharisees in a negative light because we're used to the New Testament and we're used to Jesus having a problem with the Pharisees, arguing with the Pharisees, being on the opposite side of the Pharisees. But it's important for us to understand that in his time, in Jesus' time, the Pharisees were highly respected. They were roughly middle-class people, so people didn't necessarily resent them like they might the Sadducees who tended to be wealthier. But more than that, what I want to highlight is how the Pharisees were known for their piety. Maybe some of you are like this today. We certainly can think of people in our lives that we know who are very pious, who come to church on a regular basis, people who try in their daily lives to live at best they can for God. We know many people, they own businesses, they're hard workers, and so forth. This is the Pharisees. And yet, we see how they're depicted by Jesus time and time again, and especially in today's gospel, and I'll get to that more in a few minutes. On the other hand, the tax collector, as I've said before, but it, by way of reminder, a tax collector is really despised, not just because they collect the tax. I got my tax bill yesterday. I wasn't happy. Hope that I wasn't going to have to send any money, but I will. And it made this story even more relevant. But the tax collector is also despised because they steal. They steal from you. Because if you're in, 2,000 years ago, you're living in Jerusalem, and the tax collector from the Romans comes and tells you you owe a little bit more than you owe, you're not going to get on a plane and fly to Rome and litigate your case, okay? It takes a long time to get there. You just pay him. You know that's part of the deal. He's ripping you off, but what else are you going to do? He pockets the money and goes about his way, and you go about your way. But then they don't like you if you're a tax collector. In addition to that, again, the Jews actually hate the tax collector even more because he's taking their money through the tax, and he's using it to fund the Roman army that's occupying their land of Jerusalem and Judea. And notice here, Jesus even adds an extra little strike against this tax collector. He was going to the temple to pray, so he must have been Jewish, we can assume. He was a traitor. Not just was he a thief, not just was he someone who was taking your money to fund the army that occupies you, but he was one of your own. He was a traitor. And yet he is the one who is uplifted by Jesus in today's parable. Why is that? Why is that? Well, the reason relates to the reason that the church has placed this feast here today at the very beginning of our preparations for Great Lent. And it's because it highlights this greatest of human sins, this cancer that grows within us, sometimes undetected, this cancer of self-righteousness. And that's why the church places this reading here at the beginning of our preparations. You know, when I counsel couples, marriage counseling, what I always start with is making sure we're on the same page, that we're using the same vocabulary. That's what I was kind of doing when I was explaining to you the story and its historical significance, to make sure we're on the same page, understanding the Pharisee and the publican. But the second thing I learned to focus on is what we come to know in our common vocabulary, what we call love busters. And the reason that we focus on that, love busters are things that you do that your spouse really despises. It really causes them to start to have hard feelings towards you. It makes them feel that feeling of love that we like to have towards our spouse. We start to question, do we really love this person when they act this way, when they commit some of these behaviors? And the reason that we deal with that in marriages first is because once we get rid of those, we are just naturally going to do things that our spouse appreciates. And so that's going to help that feeling of love grow. So, you know, we take out the trash, we ask them how their day went, things like this. If we're doing nothing negative, we're just going to, by accident even, do something positive. So we always try to get rid of those negative things first. And I bring this up because that's exactly what the church is doing by placing this reading of the publican and the Pharisee as the very beginning of our preparation for Lent. It's telling us to get rid of this love buster, so to speak. To get rid of this thing that separates us, that keeps us from God. Self-righteousness. And we see it in this story because Jesus said that the self-righteous Pharisee prayed thus with himself. In other words, God didn't even listen to him because he was self-righteous. And the church is telling us through this reading that it doesn't matter if we fast during Great Lent. It doesn't matter if we give alms to the poor, if we still maintain our self-righteousness, because that keeps us from God and from his grace. And so the church tells us, get rid of it. We hear about that this week. We'll hear about it again next week when we have the Sunday of the Prodigal Son. Because remember the Prodigal Son, not to steal Father John's sermon next week, but remember the Prodigal Son has this great feast thrown for him. And the son who had been faithful gets upset that his father welcomes him back. Why? In part because he's self-righteous. He believes that he sort of chipped into his salvation, to his inheritance a little bit. That he somehow, some way deserved it. He couldn't quite give up, like the Pharisee, this bit of self-righteousness. But then after correcting us and reminding us to get rid of any sense of our own righteousness, the church tells us then on the positive side. And that's what we do in the marriage counseling then. What are things that we can do? Find out things we shouldn't do. What are things that we can do? And so the church will tell us from Matthew 25 about taking care of the poor, the needy, the hungry, the thirsty, the people who are in prison, those who are in the hospitals. And then we'll have Forgiveness Sunday, and we hear about how God will forgive us in as much as we forgive those who sin against us. So the church moves on then after telling us to put aside any sense of our own righteousness to what we should do. But remember this day. Remember this story of the publican and the Pharisee. Because ultimately, brothers and sisters, we get the Holy Week. And we hear about how it was Jesus who did the work for us. About Jesus and his righteousness that saves us. And what we hear also during Holy Week is how every one of his disciples betrayed him and left him. And he was there alone on the cross. And we would have been just the same. If you think you would have been different, your cancer of self-righteousness has completely overtaken your body. You need the most intensive spiritual chemotherapy possible. We would have done exactly the same thing as them. Those who walk with him, those who talk with him, they still betrayed him. They still did not understand. And we have a choice that we must face then this Lenten season and in our spiritual lives in general. We have the choice to either be like Judas and to become depressed and to wallow in our pity and ultimately to commit suicide, not necessarily physically but spiritually, to come into despondency because we are putting aside our righteousness and we recognize our own unrighteousness. Or we have the choice of Peter. The choice of Peter, who, much like the publican, came back to Christ and simply said, "Forgive me." He fell down and said he is a sinful man. So brothers and sisters, we need to make the choice of the publican, this tax collector, the choice of Peter, during this holy season, to fall down on our knees and on our faces before God, putting aside any sense of our own righteousness and saying simply as they did, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." To him be all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever. Amen.